Hello, and welcome to the Aquila podcast. I was going to say this is a weekly, fortnightly, or monthly podcast, but to be honest, it's whenever the fuck we want to do it. But it will be featuring good music, topical discussion, rambling ad-lib, and random tomfoolery. I'm your host, Danny Duckus, and with me is, as usual, is Richard Aquila Stokes. Hello, Rich.
Hello. Hello, hello.
Hello. Yes, I've now faded you up. So the new way of doing this is that I don't fade Rich up until I actually introduce him, which basically means Rich can do whatever the hell he likes in my earphones whilst I'm trying to do the introduction. And it's a test of my professionalism. But anyway, thank you for joining us as we plough the depths of our psyche, wander down endless asides and struggle to keep to the topic in hand. This is episode 4.
Is it?
Yeah, well, obviously we've still got the issue of the fact that the pilot episode was episode 0.
Right.
So an argument could be made that this is episode 5, but it's not, it's episode 4.
Fair enough. I think I'm with you.
Yeah, well, you know, we've got to stick to our guns on certain things, so...
Totally.
Yeah, but...
Because this is our thing, the pilot... There's normally a pilot is a part of the commissioning process, isn't it?
Yes, that's true. But obviously, that would involve somebody paying us to do this, which they're obviously not at this point.
Well, does that mean, was there a discussion had that I wasn't party to where we wanted to know whether we were going to do another one?
Well, yes, but that was the executive board, and you're not.
Really?
On it. Yeah, you're not on it.
Really? So no. There's only two people involved, and there's an executive board, and I'm not involved in that either. Well, not even in some sort of weird. Kind of puppet term.
Did you think that this was just willy-nilly off the back of nothing? I mean, this is a serious professional outfit I'm doing here. There's 20 members of the executive board.
No way, really? I thought it was just you and me.
No. One of them's a puppet, but that's still 19 real people.
Yeah, when but just some sort of figurehead, or that's what I meant to say by puppet.
All
like
right.
A puppet regime.
Well, you're not talking like what are we think? Are we talking mascots? Some kind of mascot or what?
Yeah, you know. But so what was the general consent? Obviously, we got the series commissioned by this 20-person executive board, one of whom is a puppet.
Yeah, well, five of them fucking hated the whole thing, so they weren't up for it at all.
Oh no, that's not good. So where are they then?
It was an upsetting meeting, to be honest. I mean, you know, Jeff. I mean, he really just annoyed me. He was so negative. It's not like we're outlaying a massive load of cash or anything, but it's just... Well, he's a bit of a pessimist in general, really.
Right.
You know, he's got a holiday cottage in Bognor Regis, and it kind of sums up him as a person, really.
Fair enough. As all of our listenership from Bognor Regis have just clicked on their podcast now.
Oh, unsubscribed?
Yeah.
Right, okay. I've never been to Bognor Regis. Have you been to Bognor Regis?
No, I mean, it's one of those places with a name, sort of the way the name sounds sort of puts you off. Like Skegness sounds a bit wrong, like somewhere nasty out of Lord of the Rings or something.
Yeah, well, there's one on the drive down to Wales. It's called Uskbrinbooga.
Nice. Well, at least that sounds quite jolly. That sounds like some sort of jungle sort of... weird thing. Come to Uskbrinbooga, you know.
We drink Mbongo in the Congo.
Yes, there you go. It sounds crazy. There is a place not far from, I think, Oxford called Pussy.
Right, you broke up and went a bit repton then. What was it called again?
There's a place near Oxford called Pussy.
Like nice.
Quite a small town or village. I haven't been there for a while, but I went there on a tour. And it's pussy with an E between the S's and the Y.
Because that completely changes the meaning of the place.
Yeah, and it says you are now entering Pussy, please drive carefully.
Oh, come on, it can't really say that. They must have spotted that one.
And that's lovely. I think that's just really nice. Oh. It's like rules to live by. In fact, that should be a commandment, please drive carefully.
When entering Pussy.
When entering Pussy.
Right, well, we're not supposed to get to the commandments until the end of the show, but already that's going to take some beating.
Well, we'll come back to it. That can be one. We'll just have that one halfway off the shelf.
Okay. So, I still can't believe it's that. I'm just trying to envisage. It's actually something my partners tend to say. They tell me that you are now entering Pussy. It takes a little bit of the romance out of it, I'll be honest.
Yeah, do they say it in a very calm voice as well? Disinterested, kind of.
Almost like a sat nav.
Like flipping fingernails. Oh, just the hint of sadness.
Yeah. Shows the kind of excitement I tend to instill in women when I'm with them.
Like a traumatised Dalek.
Nice.
You are now entering pussy.
Exterminate. That doesn't work. I'm not going to go there.
No.
Weird. So, from the, we've already just gone freestyle. We were talking before the show, in fact, because we actually do exist outside of the podcast.
Yeah, and we do speak to each other
about,
socially.
Yeah, we do. It's true. About health and life extension. To the point whereby we'd be interested to know. I mean, how long do you, Richard Aquila Stokes, want to live?
Yeah, it's quality of life, I think, isn't it? That's the thing that we'd want to go for. Obviously, you could have none of the fun things in life, like alcohol and stuff like that. And there's a chance that that might extend your span by a certain amount of time. So you could end up going for well over 100 years. But that might mean that you've been old for a lot of your life, a significant portion.
Well, that's always the thing that gets me, really. It's like, so I don't know what the sort of consensus is on what is old these days, but, you know, once you get to 60, I mean,
right,
you're still working, you know, if you have kids, you've had them, well, you would have had to have had them, but, you know, by the time you get to 60, you're getting to being, you know, you're nearly an OAP, aren't you?
Yeah, I'm not sure what retirement and pension age is now, but it's probably something like 65, 67, yeah, something like that.
And it certainly won't still be there when we get there, but, you know, you're still sort of, you know, you're going, but you're definitely approaching old. Therefore, if you live to 100, then you're talking, well, actually exactly 40% of your life, you will have been old.
Yeah, absolutely.
It didn't sound
on
like
the other hand, how much do you enjoy your life anyway, really? I mean,
oh, not at all. Fucking hate it.
If I'm 35, right? The idea, like, that's, I was moaning about something to someone the other day, and they said something about a midlife crisis that would put me dead in the middle and dead at 70, right?
Yeah.
That means I've got to do all of this all over again. Like, this entire amount of time I've been alive for, I've got to do it
again,
all over again.
Yeah. So you're halfway through.
I've already done most of the stuff I wanted to do, to be fair.
I mean, at this point, let me just say, how far away are we from committing suicide together on the air?
Well, I don't know. I'm kind of 50-50, to be honest. I've really had enough of everything, to be honest.
Well, we're only sort of 9 minutes 40 seconds in, so I think it's a bit of a shortchanging the audience if we just, like, randomly, ritually commit suicide now.
Yeah, that's true. That's very, very true. And I think that has odd moral implications for actually making other people listen to you die as well.
Yeah.
I think that would be quite mean. I often think, obviously, it's terribly sad and awful when someone feels like they've had enough and decides to take their own life, and there's a million things that they should have recourse to and call Samaritans and things like that. But if someone is going to kill themselves, things like flinging yourself in front of a train, is this not a really selfish and unpleasant way of doing it?
Well, it can't be that nice of a way to go either. What if it doesn't take you out on the first hit and then you go under the wheels and get rumbled around for a bit? That's got to be one of the worst ways I can think of.
Absolutely. And just think of the person who's got to clear it up, for one thing. Because a lot of people make a big thing about the tube drivers. Because I think there's some probably untrue statistic came up last year saying that someone commit suicide by train once a week in England, and the driver of a train or a tube, you know, London Underground, gets a year off and counselling and stuff.
Now, there's a film about that, isn't there?
Is there?
There's something, right, hang on, this is ringing bells. It's something about three strikes and that's it, you get laid off permanently with full pay.
Now, I have heard that now.
There's a film about it, and spoilers alert, if you would like to watch this film, you might want to pause the podcast. Don't stop listening, though. Just turn it down for maybe 30 seconds, then turn it back up. The twist at the end of the... Actually, do you want to see this film, Rich?
No, I don't even know what it's called.
Oh, okay. It's called Man Jumps Under Train and Gets the Year Off.
Oh, right.
No, it's not called that at all, but you get the idea. Yeah, basically, yeah. That in the film turns out to be a myth whereby he's looking for someone to be the third man to jump under the train so that he gets signed off for life, and it's all a bit sort of, you know, black humour.
I see. There was a film ages ago called Dead Man's Curve, I think, where there's some students in America. They say if your roommate commits suicide, you get straight A's because you'll obviously be too traumatised to sit your exams. And so they all try and depress the shit out of each other and, like, cheating on each other's girlfriends, and then they fake one of their friends' suicides by killing him, and then fill his room with Joy Division and Smith's CDs and things like that.
Are you saying that this isn't what normally happens at university? Because that's just described exactly the way I did it.
Really? Oh, yeah. Well done.
I thought that's what you're supposed to do.
That is, yes, that's definitely what you were supposed to do. Well done. Yes, that was, there'll be no repercussions about the fact that you've just told everyone that at all whatsoever.
Well, we hid the evidence very well, so I'll just pretend I was joking.
Cool. It's a good job. You haven't just put that as recorded evidence.
Yeah, because, you know, and then published it to the world on podcast.
Yes, it's a good job this is not available and will not be available to anyone for anyone to listen to.
Well, that would be stupid. I mean, come on, I'm not stupid.
That would be foolishness.
And anyway, before any episode goes out to publication, it goes past the board anyway.
Oh, right. Okay.
Yeah.
What do you think they'll think of this episode so far? At the moment, it's mostly about death.
Good point. So we might want to think of something a bit more cheerful to talk about.
Yes.
It's fucking freezing in the studio.
Yeah, I'm in my kitchen and that's pretty cold as well. Mm. Just in case that's not clear, we're doing this by remote link up.
Oh, yes, yeah. Well, that's, you know, as the previous episode, which would have been episode 3, avid listeners would have noticed that we plugged the sort of remote link up option, which we were doing again today. But this basically means I'm out in the studio by myself and I haven't got Richard here to warm my hands on. Whoa, hang on. Indeed. That sounded weird. It's fine. I'll edit that bit out. It's okay.
That's just strange. I wondered what that sensation was the last time we... That's actually why we're only doing remote link-ups now. I refuse to be molested anymore.
It's just my favourite part of the podcast.
But going back just briefly to the what age, like how long do you want to live or whatever, I mean, it depends on health, doesn't it? It depends on what... Because it's not for me to say what someone else thinks is a worthwhile life or whatever.
Yeah, true.
I mean, a friend of mine was a piano player and she got, I think, some sort of degenerative muscle disease or something like that, so she couldn't play the piano anymore.
That's heartbreaking.
She learnt the guitar, apparently, and just kind of went, there you go, sorted. Another friend of mine, another piano player, rolled out of bed and fell onto a wine glass, which severed several tendons in his hand.
Nice.
Again, like, to me, not being able to play the guitar would count as severely impairing my quality of life.
Definitely. I always wondered, like, if you lost a hand or something, it pretty much kills everything that I like to do. So... like you say, playing oi, naughty. Playing instruments, preferably, you know, most of the time bass, sometimes a bit of guitar. One-handed, can't do that. PlayStation, I'm a big game fan. Nope, that's going to be very difficult with one hand. Driving, very difficult. Sporting things go away. I mean, masturbation is just going to be a nightmare.
Totally. But other people probably... I'm not speaking for you here, but I'd say certainly for me, I'd say, like, there must be people who have a perhaps stronger minded than me that would get around it, but I would find that devastating. And not saying that I will kill myself if I cannot play the guitar anymore, but it would be something where I thought, well, you know, this, I'm a different person now, this has changed.
Yeah, you'd have, I mean, I'm
the
not,
game changer.
It's not a kind of, right, my hand's gone, suicide. It's very much going to be a case of...
Doctor chasing after you, go, we can reattach the...
Oh, shit, he's dead.
Jumped in front of the train.
Because, you know, it's a big world out there. There's plenty to do. But it's just all, you know, you don't realise how dependent you are on certain aspects of your body, I suppose.
Totally. But then is dependency a bad... Like, if people used alcohol as a tool to get through their days... Does that make any kind of dependency a bad thing?
Oh. Would
it be dependent on music... or dependent on at least the ability to create music and you know, be a part of that world in however small a way.
Yeah. Oh, I don't know. See, that's a tricky one, because I know a grandparent within my family is very, very much into music, love music. But because of their deterioration hearing, it now just all sounds like sort of horrible, noisy chaos, to the point whereby they can't even listen to it anymore. And that's, oh, that's horrific, surely.
Yeah, no, that is terrible. That would be bizarre, wouldn't it?
Yeah, I mean, the way she explains it, I'm sort of thinking, don't be stupid, that can't actually happen. But obviously she's the one experiencing it, not me, so.
How very odd.
Nasty.
Very unpleasant.
Well, you mentioned music there. Is it too early for a song? What do you think?
No, I think it must be just the right time for a song.
See, so people seem to think that we plan this, but we don't. Very loose, semi-structured nature of the Aquila podcast.
And this next song is some confused, noisy chaos.
Indeed.
At least that's how it sounds to me.
Well, that's how we wrote it and played it anyway. So people tell me we've somehow managed to stay in key, so that's quite impressive.
Predominantly in key.
Okie dokie. So this is a song called Your Slave. Richard, would you care to give it a slight introduction?
This is a song called Your Slave. When I was about to get married, my mother-in-law suggested that I write a song for my bride-to-be. At the time, I couldn't get it together to write anything good enough. But after the fact, I thought, well, what if you'd, you know, written your own wedding vows and set them to music? And that was the little spark that gave me what I needed to write the song. So although it's extremely late, this is probably one of the only real straightforward, positive love songs that I've ever written.
I mean, this is obviously not just a complete ego trip for you, but if I had to pick a song off the album that I thought was the best all round, I think this would be it. I think
really, you think so?
Yeah, I think it's. I feel it's got quite a universal appeal. It's catchy. There's some great musical work, like guitar, and you know, the actual sort of melodies are beautiful. I actually like the lyrics. A couple of people have said to me about sort of there's a little bit of a vampiric twinge to it,
Even when I'm trying to write something completely upbeat, it still ends up sounding quite dark. Even when you write a song in G about just being happy, it still ends up sounding a bit about death.
That's just indie noir, though, in itself, I reckon.
Indie noir, yes. Cool.
Right then, so this is off the free album. You can download it from AquilaLovesYou.com. You guys know the score. There are 10 tracks free to download. This is one of them. It's one of my favourites, and it's called Your Slave. So by all means, share the link, get it out there. It's a free download. Get on over and enjoy.
Right at you.
What will you be, Rich?
I'll be your slave. I played that song at a gig, and I was doing a show at, I think it was a spoken word event called Word Up. And it's a really, really cool event that they do in the York's Bakery Cafe at last Friday of every month in Birmingham.
Cool.
And I was playing at that, and there was a girl, not heckling, but we had a lot of dialogue between myself and the room, and there was a girl on the front row who was saying that a lot of the songs are sort of uniformly negative, and I was like, right, I will play you this one. I've got this.
It is.
I think she liked the fact that there was a kind of unambiguously upbeat vibe to that.
There's a drive. For me, it's a great driving track. It's got that sort of positive driving sort of nature to it.
Well, I can't drive, so any driving song for me just ends up sounding like Slayer or something.
Slayer? You can't drive to Slayer. You'd end up killing people.
I end up killing people when I drive. And that's the thing.
Ah, fair enough. Oh, I see. I get it. You were doing that play on words thing. But speaking of the driving thing, so anyone in the know that knows myself and Richard at all will know that we've been gigging and hanging out for 25 years. I don't know, something stupid.
Really?
It must be, mustn't it?
Yeah, not far off.
We were 11, weren't we, when we sort of started hanging out?
Yeah.
So, by my reckoning, I passed my licence at 17. if you ever actually get around to doing your driving licence, you are going to be driving me around for the next 20 years.
Yeah. Well, that's all right, isn't that something worth staying alive for? You can look forward to that.
Can I dress you up like some kind of chauffeur?
Well, exactly like some kind of chauffeur. There's a little bit of wiggle room there that I find slightly sinister.
True, but you don't have to wiggle. This is why you haven't passed your test, isn't it? Wiggling is not part of it.
That's true.
Yeah.
I will wear normal chauffeur garb.
Yeah.
But not some kind of chauffeur. There's something sinister about that I'm not happy about.
Oh, you mean I can't dress you up like some kind of chipmunk?
No, or a samurai warrior.
However, that'd be quite cool. Difficult to drive, but quite cool.
Yes, it'd be quite intimidating, wouldn't it? Like, people would certainly make way for you at a roundabout or whatever when you weren't sure whether to go. I'll let the guy with the sword go first, I think.
Yeah, I think road rage would be somewhat lessened if you get out with a full samurai armour set on.
Yes. Well, the last guy who argued with him got bisected.
Cut in half, he was.
Yeah.
Oh, the insurance paperwork was terrible. I mentioned earlier that you were going Repton. Now,
yes.
It occurred to me that this is something we've talked about and I've invented without explaining to the listeners of the podcast.
Yeah, I was a bit confused because isn't it like a public school somewhere in the south of England?
That may well be true. I'd have to look that up.
Where Roald Dahl went.
Yeah, the reference I made was during the recording of the last podcast. We're going to have to admit it here. There was a little bit of editing that went on.
Oh, my God. I can almost hear the clicks as people press unsubscribe.
They do. Unsubscribing by the thousands they are. Simply because the remote uplink isn't perfect. It's not like we're on some kind of fancy business line here. We are utilising standard broadband. Consequently, it occasionally fucks up. But this is what happened, one of the outtakes from last week's show. We were talking earlier about this thing. Now, I haven't seen this, but you were saying about Benefit Street.
Yeah, it's a new reality TV.
Right, so this is what I had to deal with, because suddenly Richard just turns into some kind of 80s computer game character. So you didn't even hear it, because from my point of view, you didn't hear this. I am started scrabbling around trying to work out what to do, and then you come back perfectly unaware that anything's gone wrong. So let's just scale back and I'll play it again. Hold on.
Yeah, it's a new reality.
Right, stop laughing. You're crashing the recording. Right, hang on. Right, your challenge now is to not laugh and let the listeners hear what I had to deal with.
It's a cool. New reality TV show. They filmed it in Birmingham. They're doing more.
Right, hang on. Right, so that's all I get. And you just carry on talking. And for some reason, the connection's dropped out, so I can't get in touch with you. And it sounds weird. So the reference I'm making is Repton, which is an 80s computer game, whereby that was pretty much the quality of the sound effects. So for anyone wondering about the reference, that's where it comes from. Would you care to comment on the craziness that you just did?
It sounds like a happy robot giggling in some sort of cheap sci-fi thing.
Hang on. Yeah, I like it. It was weird and it freaked me out a little bit. But what amused me most about it was the fact that I honestly didn't know what to do because I was now flapping trying to work out what's wrong with the technology and you were happily discussing one of the topics.
Yes, well, actually, I am a robot wearing a man suit. And if you ask me to discuss television, then it makes me laugh and I blow my cover.
Oh, I see. So if I was to ask you to discuss TV characters, you'd do this. Yeah, I've got it. I know what it reminds me of. It's Johnny Five.
Yes, or the little robot from that Buck Rogers thing.
Ah, beady, 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 beady. Nice one, Buck. That one.
Yes.
What's his name?
I have no idea.
Oh, come on, what's his name? That's going to irritate the hell out of me.
But it also reminds me of some sort of cheap effect on a Casio keyboard kind of thing.
Yeah, sounds about right.
It sounds like a Casio trying to be a piano.
Bloody Casio. Casio and its blooming adventurous, optimistic life dreams.
Yes, bastards.
Yeah. So being that we are half an hour in, I've got a little bit of a game for you. Now, this is not entirely fair on the people listening unless you're in front of a computer or unless you've heard about the story before. But I'm going to show a picture to Mr. Stokes about the thing I'm going to talk about. So this is... I mean, I don't know how much people are familiar with the sort of humanist, atheist sort of movement. It's particularly rampant over in America where there's some particularly crazy Christians. And they're now fighting this war about this sort of constitutional thing with regards to the Establishment Clause, which basically says that there's a complete separation of church and state.
Church and state, yeah. Makes sense.
Yeah, well, it does perfect sense, but for some reason they seem to have forgotten that this is in their constitution, to the point whereby the latest one of these, which just amused the hell out of me, is in Oklahoma. In 2012, they put up outside the courthouse, which is obviously public property, a monument to the Ten Commandments.
Right.
Which is obviously a bit of a problem if you're not Christian, because you're then saying, right, I'm going into the courthouse, I'm hoping to be tried fairly, and hang on, this isn't really what I was after.
Right, yeah, totally.
So,
sends a message.
Yeah, absolutely. So as part of the establishment, like, people they've had the sort of standard complaints of, look, can you take these monuments down? It's public property. At which point they get you get the, nope, this is a Christian nation, son. If you don't like it, you get out of here, and all that sort of stuff.
Right.
So the other tack that some people are now starting to use is the sort of, well, if you can put your religious monument up there, then we can put our religious monument up there.
Ah, cunning.
So in Oklahoma, what a local Satanist group have decided is that they're going to put a 7-foot statue of Baphomet, I think that it's pronounced.
That's the goat guy, right?
Indeed. So what I'm now trying to do is share my screen with you. So, Richard, if you want to look at your laptop,
yes,
you should. Can you
got my face on it.
Okay, right. That is the statue they're trying to put up.
That's very nice. You've got the inverted pentagram. You've got the goat guy there.
Indeed. So anyone, feel free to just, everyone, if you just Google Oklahoma Satanist monument, you'll get this. This is a 7-foot tall, pretty much a gravestone with, as you say, an inverted pentagram, a big goatee dude with a big frock, massive beard, and two small children either side of him smiling up sweetly.
Yes.
I am told that his lap is actually a bench, so you can go and sit on his lap and gaze into his bearded, goatee face and ask for inspiration. I don't know. Now, I'm a little unfamiliar with Satanism as a thing. I certainly know that there's certain brands of it that are actually atheistic. But for me, this on courthouse steps in Oklahoma would be hilarious.
That's a brilliant idea, isn't it? It very sort of tells you the kind of treatment you're going to get as well. You could go in and you can sort of pick then, can't you?
What, which one you prefer?
The police watching as people go in to be tried. They can see whether they go for the Ten Commandments or the enormous goat dude for help and inspiration.
Yep, I like it. So I'm actually more of a thing of this should be a protest whereby they just take everything away so that it's secular as it's supposed to be. But I can't help but have a little mischievous streak in me that just wants them to build the thing.
Absolutely. And then they should put a Buddha next to it.
Absolutely.
And, yeah, a bit of everything.
Yeah, massive Vishnu, a big cubey thing. Well, hang on, what do Islamic people do? Because you're not allowed to depict the prophet, are you?
No. Well, you're not. I don't think you're allowed to do anything figurative in art in Islam.
Oh.
So I don't know. Perhaps an enormous stone... Nope, I've got no idea.
No, okay, we're going to have to look that one up.
Anything that you'd have. A big stone Quran, perhaps. I don't know.
I don't know, but you'd never be able to take that away then, because if you destroy a Quran, it's like punishable by death, isn't it?
Yeah, well, you could just put it somewhere else, surely.
Because a massive stone Quran would be easy to move around.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, I mean, anyway. But yeah, I don't know, perhaps one page from it then with some particularly salient points.
Are you implying that you should rip pages out of the Quran, Richard?
I know, I'm implying you should make great big stone ones and then put them next to a big goat dude.
Okay. Oh, could he be reading it? That would be interesting.
Yes, yeah, so perhaps they could give the goat dude a sort of thoughtful expression.
Ah.
As though he was taking things on board, and then they could put big stone religious texts in front of him, like a different one every week or something.
I like it.
Well, they could just keep changing it round, like in Fawlty Towers when they used to write the signs slightly differently.
Oh, I used to love that. Subtle jokes, I love those.
Yes, so they could do something like that, but outside their courthouse.
Yeah, very good. Yeah, I mean, that'd be open for abuse, of course, but that's fine. You could sort of, you know, give them a copy of The Independent one week and Daily Mail the next.
Yeah.
You know, that sort of messing. Not that I particularly want to mess with Satan. Because I get the impression that if he is real, he'd be particularly stringent on his punishments.
Yeah, it'd be a complicated. He'd also have more things to punish you with than most other religious icons.
Yeah, two massive frigging horns to start with.
Yeah, well, I mean, he'd have access to an eternity of torture pits as well, and like presumably they get really good at torturing you as well.
Mm. But this is, you know, it's 2014 now. I reckon he's probably upgraded the place a little bit. He's probably got a pool and, you know, a sauna or a hot tub or something.
Yeah, that's true. Sort of, what, pimped it out? Pimp your hell pit kind of thing.
Well, he must be on a fairly good wage. He's doing an important job down there.
Yeah, that's true, actually. He's sort of executive in charge of sinners or whatever.
Yeah. I mean, it's not necessarily about, you know, it's just about punishing evil people. He's got a job to do, and it's not about just reward. It's recompense, isn't it? You've got to, you know, take the perks where you can get them.
Absolutely. I don't think most people realise quite what a difficult job Satan has to do.
Mm.
To be fair, it's a bit like traffic wardens.
I've often thought how similar traffic wardens are to Satan.
Absolutely.
Yeah. And now we've just lost all the traffic wardens from our audience.
Especially all the Satan worshipping ones.
Well, no, they're all right because they'd like to be compared to Satan, so we'll keep them.
That's true.
Yeah, we've just lost the ones that aren't Satanists.
Cool. I think there's probably quite a small amount of traffic wardens, though, to be fair.
I'd be interested in seeing your evidence for that statement.
All right. Well, before the next one, I will amass all the evidence. I'll do a religious questionnaire to every traffic warden that I meet.
Good. I like
and
it.
I'll compile a grid. I'll compile a chart of their beliefs.
Sounds about right.
And so, I'll ask them how they'd want to kill themselves and whether they'd do it with a train and what religious icon they'd like to see outside law courts in Oklahoma.
Well, you might as well get as much information out of them as possible beforehand, so that's good.
Yeah, I think there's not enough. I think traffic wardens are an unmined quantity in terms of getting information.
Yeah. I've never talked to one other than to say, I'm going now.
Well, there you go. You had
a nice interaction with one once, didn't you? Didn't one let you off at one point?
Really?
This is obviously stuck in your memory.
I don't even drive. I've had tickets. I've written to get tickets reversed.
Yeah.
With sub stories and stuff.
You have to. It's almost obligatory.
Because they've said, but that was mostly, I did buy the ticket. It just fell off the dashboard.
Yeah, they don't go for that one usually.
Well, it did work after a sort of Shawshank Redemption amount of emailing. You know, when he keeps writing to the guys to ask for more money for the library.
Yeah.
It was a bit like that. And eventually they were like, all right, then.
I'll let you off then.
Yes.
Persistence, I like it. So we touched on this earlier, but that now about time takes us up to the Ten Commandments section of episode 4.
Wow.
Which basically means that we have a bit of a trade-off, because I was going to say something along the lines of something to do with building things, stuff, and I've actually forgotten how it was going to translate into, but I can't remember what we said earlier.
I was going to say, we haven't set the bar very high with commandments.
No.
But I still think something building things and stuff.
Hang on.
Even more vague.
How dare you insult our marvellous list of commandments?
We've got be kind, don't move horses. I can't even remember what the third one was.
Look, if you can't even remember them, how are you going to stick to them? I mean,
but that's true. Well, I'll have to listen back to all the other ones.
All right,
I'll put it in the blog when I've got... I've got a minute, I'll put all the commandments in the blog.
That's good. So, hang on, you're right. Pain. We've got be kind, don't move horses, consider how much to feed your children.
Yes.
Wear a beard if a beard suits you.
Hey, yes.
Yes, and...
And something to do with buildings and stuff. You see, it doesn't even... The rest of them are at least quite direct.
All right. What did you say earlier? I've forgotten.
I was going to say, because this is quite a good one, and try and leave the world a better place than you found it.
That's not what you said earlier.
I don't remember saying anything earlier. I said I had a good idea for one, and I think that's a good idea. Oh! Don't kill yourself in front of a train. Is that one? Is that what I was saying earlier?
Yeah, something about consider the effect of your suicide, or we could just implement death. Consider the effect your death will have on others, or is that a bit morbid?
No, I think that's pretty good. I mean, you say commandments, you're talking about how to live your life, and I think the idea that life is going to stop at some point is an important thing in how you conduct yourself, isn't it?
So there's a serious twang to this one, then. So,
yeah.
I mean, it'll end up being perhaps a little bit long, but we could say, consider the effect your death will have on others, especially if you plan to throw yourself in front of a train, consider the driver and the amount of mess it will make.
Yeah.
We could use parentheses.
Yes. We could boil it down to look after yourself and then have the rest in brackets, if you like. What about that? We're going for another quite wishy-washy one.
Yeah, it's a bit vague, isn't it? I mean, you did this in the last episode whereby we laid this thing out and then you sort of changed it into something that was arguably much better but not actually much to do with what we were talking about.
That's what I'm here for.
I mean, you do bring us back to the topic and keep us concise and that sort of stuff, but I quite like the idea of a long, rambling one.
Yeah, but the original commandments are horrifically rambling and lambling, even though that's not...
The first four are pretty much the same thing anyway, aren't they?
It's mostly, it's a sort of lengthy, I am your God, I am. I am the only one. Honest, don't look over there, that's not a God, I'm the only one. There's just me!
Spoils the idea if he's saying don't look at those other gods, it's just me, then you've just proven the fact that it's not just you. There shouldn't be I don't know, it's all a bit complicated.
Yeah, no, absolutely. But the one about So don't covet your neighbour's ox, which stand-up comedians over the last 20 years have had such fun with.
Yes.
As it's all... Doesn't it have every animal you could possibly have owned in 2,000 years ago in Palestine? Or whatever. This sort of like your ox or your goat or your horse or, you know, don't covet this, don't covet that.
Yeah, the worst thing about that isn't wife in there somewhere is like that's a possession of some kind.
Yes, and I think also the fact that it's kind of 57th on the list, oh, wife as well.
Yeah,
not as good as a goat.
Especially two of them. Don't even worry about that ox. I mean, look at that ox.
Yeah, don't covet it, but... If you're going to covet something, I'd be more worried about the ox or the goats.
Yeah, because she's all right. Yes. She's indoors, chained to the sink.
Yes, difficult to covet her. Yeah. Her and her sink.
Disclaimer, the Aquila podcast does not support the misogyny or the idea that wives should be chained to sinks.
No sort of sex sink bondage. That's bad. Yeah. Bad!
I only add that, otherwise I'll get it in the neck later, basically. Right, one last thing. Before we wrap this little bad boy up, I've been sort of working out some new little sound drops and things, and I just thought it'd be amusing to mention. For when something ridiculous is happening or we're reporting on a particularly stupid thing, I thought I would utilise this sound drop, which avid listeners will remember as the Benny Hill theme tune. Now... This,
why didn't you do that for the Baphomet thing then?
In all honesty, I meant to, I forgot.
Damn you.
Indeed, so the professionalism thing once again goes out the window. But why I wanted to play this now was just to merely comment that when looking for the audio of this, I obviously started with YouTube to find out if there was an easier way to get it. Right. There are 4 different versions of this Benny Hill theme tune on YouTube that are 10 hours long.
Holy shit.
So who wants 10 hours of this on a loop?
Well, I seem to recall the visuals of him chasing girls around in their underwear.
Yeah, but there isn't even any visuals on these YouTube videos. It's just a picture.
Really?
And 10 hours of this theme tune.
Wow. You know, like, I've heard of people looping the sound of a vacuum cleaner.
Yes.
To get their kids to sleep. So you play like a 3-hour MP3 of a vacuum cleaner playing really low because white noise reminds a kid of the womb.
Yes, I can understand that.
But whatever qualities that song might possess, the soporific and relaxing of not what springs to mind.
No.
My feet are jiggling as I speak, to be fair. I don't think that's going to work particularly.
No. It's
if anyone knows, you have to email us or tell us on Twitter, what can you do with 10 hours of that song?
Well, just, I can't, you know, what possible context could you have? I mean, obviously, this is now a short minute or two segment that is looped so that when we're talking about something ridiculous, it can be, nicely ducked underneath. That's fine. I'm not going to talk about something for 10 hours.
No. I think everyone would quite prefer that we didn't talk about anything for 10 hours.
Yeah. I think, yeah, me included. So, yeah, there is, well, the world's a strange place, folks. Pretty much, if you do something and post it on the internet, eventually you'll find some other psychos just like you who think that that's a good thing. But thank you, whoever made the effort of looping Benny Hill theme tune for 10 hours.
Wow. That's amazing.
Right then, I think we're probably running out of time, so... Richard, it's been marvellous fun once again, and the remote uplink seems to have worked quite well this week.
Yeah, it's been a pleasure and a privilege.
Indeed. Thank you very much, people, for joining us. Do feel free to hop on over to AquilaLovesYou.com, where you can download the album, join the mailing list, subscribe to the podcast, this podcast, and get in touch.
The blog.
Indeed, yeah, the blog, email, Facebook, Twitter. Depending on your electronic preferences, do give us a shout, let us know what you think. And remember... Quilla loves you. Until next time, this is Dan and Rich signing off.
Bye. It's a new reality TV show. They filmed it in Birmingham. They're doing more.
Hang on, hang on. Stop.